Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
We are continuing in our series on taking control of your money in 2021. The reason that we're focusing on this in January of 2021, because it's a fine time to reset, to start over, to plan for a brighter financial situation for the year. So we thought it was very appropriate to spend some time, a few episodes, on ways that you can take control, some tips and tools in various areas, so that as you move into 2021, you will have control over your finances. You will have a sense of owning your finances rather than your finances owning you. So in this episode, I want to speak to the women. Women taking control of your finances. Whether you're married, whether you're single, it doesn't matter. But as a woman, you have oftentimes financial needs that are unique to your situation in life. Maybe you want to buy a home for the first time. You may be single and you may be divorced, but you may want to buy a home for the first time. You might want to start saving for your child's college education. You might be concerned about planning for retirement. You're nearing retirement and thinking, boy, how am I going to live? I don't quite know if Social Security is going to do it. Whatever your circumstances are, it's just important to understand your overall financial position. Women, it's very important to understand your overall financial position now before you start talking about moving to the next level. You got to understand where you stand now. We have discussed this in various forms in other episodes, but we're going to pull it all together again with a focus on the women. So to understand your overall financial position, it means you'll have to pull together and implement a plan, a financial plan. That sounds pretty complicated, but it really isn't. It's as simple as you would like to make it. And we'll go through that. With a financial plan in place, you will be better able to focus on your goals. Notice the words that I'm saying here, plan and goals, and then understand what it will take to reach them. We all must plan, no matter what it is that we're trying to achieve. We all have to have a plan in place, broken down into goals. So the three main steps in creating and implementing. So it's one thing to create a plan, a financial plan. It's another thing to actually put it into action. So the three main steps in creating and implementing an effective financial plan is what? Number one, know where you stand. You need to develop a clear picture of your current financial situation. Number two, set and prioritize financial goals as well as time frames around when you want to achieve those goals. Number three, you've got to implement, actually do it, appropriate saving and investing strategies. So let's go over that again. Develop a clear picture of your current financial situation. So let's talk about that in detail. If you don't already have one, consider establishing a budget or a spending plan. How formal you get with it is completely up to you. But a budget allows you to plan for your spending every single month. So, how do you create a budget? You're going to have to, number one, identify your current monthly income, everything you have coming in, and expenses. You are then going to have to just take a hard and honest look at your spending habits. What does that really mean? Are you buying things that you really don't need? Are you buying things on impulse? Are you taking the time to try to comparison shop when you do have a need to purchase, to comparison shop to find the best price and value? Evaluate your spending habits. Take a long, hard look at the expenses that you already have, and for each one of them, decide, do I still need to be incurring this expense? Is this necessary and in line with the goals that I have? And then finally, monitor your overall spending. So to develop a budget, once again, you'll need to identify your current monthly income and expenses. So you start by adding up all of your income. So in addition to what you make on your job, your salaries and wages, be sure to include other types of income, child support, interest, dividends, any other type of all dollars coming in the door would be a part of your monthly income. So once you have that number, ladies, that tells you what you have to work with. Next. Now, what's important is that you formally document this. Not on a scratch sheet of paper, but a spreadsheet or a notebook where you're going to keep this and you're going to be managing to this. So next, you're going to add up all of your expenses. And it might make it easier if you divide your expenses into two categories, which we have spoke about before. Your fixed expenses, and then your discretionary expenses. So what are fixed expenses? Fixed expenses, ladies, are things that are necessities, like your housing, food, transportation. Okay, those things that are necessities. Generally, those are those expenses, car payments, and things of that nature, that you have a contract, a loan agreement, or some type of agreement that you just can't get out of. So you need to write down all of those fixed expenses. The second category of expenses are discretionary. Those are things that are optional, that you spend money on a monthly basis. Entertainment. Vacations, which none of us are doing now. Hobbies. Okay. And so make sure that you also include those expenses that don't necessarily happen each month, but they may happen on a quarterly basis. Maybe your car insurance, or your annual property taxes if you own a home, Christmas shopping once a year. So you include that in your budget as well. So how do you do that? Well, so if you have a car insurance bill that you pay maybe twice a year or just one time a year, you would take that amount and divide it by, if you pay it once a year, you would divide it by 12 to come up with the monthly amount of that car insurance. If you pay it twice a year, then you would take that amount and divide it by 6 to come up with a monthly amount. But the most important thing is that you determine what your monthly expenses are. What are those that are fixed and what are those that are discretionary? So once you subtract your expenses, your monthly expenses from your monthly income, that gives you an idea of what you have remaining, any excess. Of course, if you have no excess, then you have a shortfall. You're living in a deficit. That means you would then need to, of course, reduce those expenses and or increase your income. So what's the point in developing this budget? It's for you to manage off of, stay on track with, to monitor it. So get in the habit of saving. Try to make budgeting a part of your routine. And it is okay to build a reward for yourself, an occasional reward, into your budget. Particularly if you're doing really, really good with your goals, you can, when you're doing your budget for the next quarter, you may decide that you want to buy yourself a new outfit. You will include that in the budget. Look at your budget regularly and adjust it to make changes as needed. I teach my clients this all the time, and this applies to both individuals and businesses. It is important that if you have a budget, that you look at, monitor it. What does that mean? Well, if you have a budget, then you need to know what is in that budget. So as the month goes on, you say, okay, well, I have $50 in my budget for transportation. Well, then you need to stay within that $50 budget of transportation. At the end of the month, it is vitally important that you have a mechanism, whether it is online banking or whether it is a software like Quicken or whatever it might be, that you pull down. Or if you may have kept track during the month, that you keep track of your actual expenses. So you have your budget right here, and then you're keeping track of your actual expenses. What did you actually spend in each of these categories? So when the month ends, you're in a position to compare your actual expenditures for food to your budget, and then calculate the difference. Ladies, calculate the difference. Did you go over or under? What were your actual expenditures for? Your rent should be the same as your budget because that number doesn't change each month, and calculate the difference. Now you know how well you did to your budget and you can adjust as necessary. So by developing the budget, you have a clear current financial picture of your situation. There are millions of people who have no idea how much they are spending and on what. It is almost impossible to plan for retirement, to plan for major purchases, to meet certain very important goals in our life without a clear understanding of where we really are. And that's where developing a budget comes in. What are you spending your money on? How much do you have come in? I mean, it could be that when you add up all of your expenditures for the month of January 2021, and when we say add up all your expenditures, ladies, we mean not only your expenditures through your debit card, but we also mean your expenditures by cash and credit cards. That is one thing that people often leave out when we talk about adding up our expenses. So it doesn't matter whether you spend it via a credit card, a debit card, a cash, or whatever form. If you go onto Amazon and you buy something today and you have a credit card on file at Amazon, that purchase is an expenditure now. It's an expenditure now that needs to go on your actual expenditure list. Now you would say, well, why does it need to be on there now? I'm going to get a bill and I don't have to pay it off until later. And even then, I only have to pay a minimum amount. That is irrelevant. Why is it irrelevant? Because the credit trap is this. Credit cards are given to us, and the trap is you have a credit line available to you. And because you have a credit line that is available to you, then you may spend and spend and spend and spend all the way up to the credit line. And that bank will allow you, when they send you your bill, they don't make you pay the whole thing. They say you only are required to pay this amount, a very small minimum amount. Well, the problem with paying that minimum amount is now you have taken a purchase for $200, and by paying a minimum amount, it may take you years, a year or 2 years to pay that off if you only pay $5 towards it. And the interest expense on taking that long to pay for that item adds up and is costing you. So I would like to emphasize over and over and over and over again, if you do nothing else, ladies, if you have credit cards that you are using, that is the first place you go to see what you've spent your money on for the month. Now I'm talking about current expenditures, not balances. Okay, for the month. So each day, anytime you spend money, anytime you buy something on your credit cards, that needs to be in your expenditure column. We will handle the balance part later. Like if you had a balance in your credit card from prior years, we will talk about how to handle that later. So the second aspect of ladies taking control of your money in 2021 now is creating and actually implementing a financial plan or goals. So you've got to set some goals and then you've got to prioritize those goals. So make a list of things that you'd like to achieve. And you can list them by short-term items, short-term goals. Those goals within maybe a year, and then long-term goals. More than a year from now, this is what you'd like to do. So if you're interested in buying a home, then this year that will be a short-term goal. If you have children who are maybe under the age of 15 or younger than that, you want to start saving for their college education, that is a longer-term goal. Your short-term goals may include something like making sure that you have cash reserves enough to pay off any outstanding credit card debt, maybe. Cash reserve is basically a savings, extra money. So with your long-term goals, determine what they are. Purchase of a home, retiring early, whatever it may be. So once you have come up with your financial goals, you know you can't do them all at the same time. Then you're going to prioritize them. Obviously, the short-term ones that are within this year, they're going to be a priority because it's within this year. But it's important to set priorities because it just is not possible for you to pursue all of those goals at one time. You may can be incrementally doing that, but just prioritize them. So what do I mean by prioritize them? Put dates. So you priority, you say, this is my number one goal. I want to achieve this by this day. This is my second goal. I want to achieve by this date. Okay. You will have to decide, ladies, which of your financial goals are most important to you and which goals you may have to place on the back burner. So one of your goals may be to always take that trip to Tahiti. Well, depending upon your current financial situation and your other goals, that one may have to be a little later down the list. So after you have determined your financial goals, now you're going to have to know how much is it going to take. And it doesn't matter what kind of goal we have in life, everything takes money. So what's it going to take to fund each of those goals? Now, if you've already started saving towards the goal, all you need to know is how much more do I need? So if you were trying to buy a house and you knew you wanted to save $10,000 and you know you've already saved four, then essentially you got $6,000 more to go. Next, you can focus on implementing investment strategies. Now, investment strategies. To help determine which investments are suitable for your financial goals, ask yourself the following questions. What's my time horizon? How long do I have before I need to meet this goal? Okay. Can I handle, what is my tolerance for risk in the stock market? What is my tolerance for losing any money, the ups and downs that come with investing? And what are my liquidity needs? What do I mean by that? How much actual cash do I need to be able to put my hands on quickly over the next year? If some of your goals or most of your goals are more longer term goals, and then you can start investing in longer term securities, meaning you don't necessarily want to put money in a CD or a savings account that is liquid that you can get to quickly if you don't need those funds. Why? Because you're not going to be earning much of anything. It's savings, yes, but you are now giving up all of the potential returns that you could be making by putting those funds in a riskier investment that could potentially give you greater returns. So once you have answered the questions around your time horizon, how much your stomach can take with your investment risk, and how much liquidity do I need, then you'll be able to tailor your investments to help you target specific financial goals. So if your only goal you have is to be comfortable in retirement and you're 30 years old, that's and you want to retire at in 25 years, that's a longer term goal. So that means you can take your money that you have available to invest and invest it for the longer term. Okay. You don't need to put your money in short-term investments. You tailor it there, a retirement, some type of retirement plan. Your goal, everyone's goal, every single woman that is listening to this episode, your goal should always include increasing your net worth. Now, net worth is a biggie for me because your net worth is an indication of your financial standing. It is the main indicator of your financial standing. So what is net worth? It is the total of all of the assets or things that you own, the value of your home, the value of your cars, clothes, investments, retirement plans. You add up all those assets. And then you subtract everything that you owe, every debt, every outstanding balance on any debt, student loan, mortgage, car, credit cards, Uncle John, all of your debt. You add up all your debt, subtract it from all your assets, that's your net worth. You want that number to be a positive number, which means you want the assets to be higher than the debt. So if your net worth is a negative number where your debt exceeds your assets, then that should be one of your goals. And that is to have a positive net worth where your assets are higher than your debt. So you have some work to do in decreasing your debt. If your net worth is positive, yay for you. And so your goal would always be to increase that. Increase your net worth. Increase your net worth. Make it a higher and higher and higher number. Because what does that give you? That gives you a comfort level in terms of your financial position. You can essentially sell all your assets and pay off all your debts and have money left over. That's basically what net worth gets you. It's the ability to basically take your assets, pay down your debt, and still be comfortable. But if your debt exceeds your assets, then you are owing more to people than you actually own. You do not want to be in that situation. So whether your debt is from student loans, mortgage, or credit cards, it's important to avoid all of the pitfalls that go hand in hand with borrowing. So you have to manage your debt and credit, ladies. So any good financial plan that you put in place should manage both debt and credit. So as you're doing your budget and you subtract your expenses from your income and you have money left over, that money left over should go to first, if you have lots of debt, paying down debt before you even try to invest. Because likely the interest rate on your credit cards are much higher than you could probably make investing. Only you know. So some of the tips to help you manage debt and credit. Make sure you know exactly how much you owe at any point in time by keeping track of balances and interest rates. So pull out all of those credit card statements as of one point in time. Write down how much you owe on each one and the interest rate. And ladies, you're going to tackle those with the highest balance and with the highest interest rates first to get those paid off or paid down. Develop a short-term plan to manage your payments and avoid late fees. Do not pay those credit card balances late. Don't pay your credit cards because $35, $40 late fee, that's expensive. And that adds up. That is taking from your hard-earned dollars. So even if you have to set up an automatic payment from your credit card company where they would automatically pay the minimum, that at least gets that done. And you can always go behind that payment and add a bigger payment. But at least you don't have to worry about a late payment happening. If you're not, you know, timely, haven't been timely because you don't open your mail quickly, or you're getting your online statements and you don't check your emails, use automatic payment of your minimum amount. At least you know it's been paid. But we are not suggesting that you only pay your minimum amount. If you have the wherewithal to pay more, then you pay much more than that. In fact, I will always say is that you pay the entire balance if at all possible. In theory, and I know this economy, it's a tough time for everyone. So people are, you know, needing to use their credit cards when they would normally not use their credit cards. But if at all possible, don't use it unless you can pay the balance in full. And finally, understand what's on your credit report. So an important part of managing debt and credit is to understand all the information that's in your credit report, because not only does a credit report contain information about past and present credit transactions, but it's also used by potential lenders to evaluate your credit worthiness. Okay. So as we know, a lender will assume that you can be trusted to make timely payments against your debt if you've done so in the past. If you have a history of late payments or bad debts, that will hurt your credit. And based on your track record, because it's all about track record. Ladies, if your credit report indicates that you are, you know, not so timely in making your payments, they consider you a poor risk. And someone that you're trying to get a loan from is likely to turn you down for credit or to extend it to you or they may give you that credit, but at a higher interest rate. Good credit is oftentimes a prerequisite to even getting particular jobs. Certain industries will also pull your credit report. So think about that if you're in the market for a new job. So a credit report affects so many different aspects of your financial situation. So it's just so important to not only establish, but keep up a good credit history in your own name, ladies, in your own name. So you should review your credit report regularly and be sure to correct any errors on it. You are entitled to a free copy of your credit report from each of the three major credit agencies once every 12 months. And you can go to www.annualcreditreport.com to do so. Now, I did say finally, but this really is finally, working with a financial professional, and we covered in the previous episode the various types of financial professionals that are available for both businesses and individuals, that we all have a need for them at times. So you can do this alone, but you might find it helpful to work with a financial professional to assist you in creating and implementing a financial plan. So we went over all of that, but a financial professional can help you to accomplish developing a plan, identifying your goals, making recommendations. They can help you to determine the state of your current affairs, monitoring your plan, and adjusting as needed. Okay. So that's someone that you can consider as well. So it's just important to have a clear understanding of your overall financial position as you move to taking control of your money in 2021, ladies. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we will take the complicated financial parts of your life and your business and make it easy for you to understand.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.